From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Dr. Gary Schwartz joins us. The existence of a universal intelligence, nothing happens by chance. He calls it the G-O-D experiments. While investors agonizing over a faltering economy sent the stock market plunging all over again Wednesday after two disheartening reports convinced Wall Street that a recession, if not already here, is inevitable. The market's despair, fed by a stream of bad economic data, propelled the Dow Jones Industrials down 733 points to their second largest point loss ever, and the major indexes all lost at least 7%. The slide meant that the Dow, which lost 76 points on Tuesday, has given back now all but 126 points of its record 936-point gain of Monday, which came on optimism about the banking system in response to the government's plan to invest up to $250 billion in financial institutions. And here they go again. What is wrong with these people at the American Insurance Group, AIG? You'll be talking about this one at work tomorrow. First, there was this $440,000 AIG groups that they spent entertaining executives days after receiving an $85 billion lifeline from the Federal Reserve. Now it's $86,000 for a hunting trip to England, as the faltering company reaped another $37.8 billion in taxpayer-funded loans. Ms. Shedlock, registered investment advisor, here he is again. Ms., these people are out of control.
Absolutely out of control. Out of control everywhere. But I'm telling you, the statement that Bush made yesterday, did you see it?
This is, yeah.
It's one of the most Orwellian comments in history. The bank buyout was needed to preserve the free market. That's absolutely stunning. I thought that was the most Orwellian thing anyone had ever said until someone reminded me of a comment he made a few years back. He said, when we talk about war, we're talking about peace. Absolutely amazing things. And some details are coming out now about this $250 billion bailout thing that Paulson wants to do. On Monday, he called the CEOs of the nine largest banks in the United States. He got them in a room. He handed them a one-sheet piece of paper and said they've got to sign it before they left. And he told them that the Fed and the Treasury was going to give them cash, whether they wanted it or not, and that they had to pay 5% interest for it. Seriously, this is absolutely amazing stuff. I am wondering, you know, by what authority, not that anyone cares anymore whether anything's constitutional or not, the CEO of Wells Fargo said, well, wait a second, we're well capitalized. We didn't get involved in this mess like everyone else. And he said, well, this is a take it or take it offer. That every bank in the room had to sign the piece of paper before they left. And what Paulson is attempting to do is force money down these guys' throats so they will lend it out.
Yep, that's what he wants.
We got into this mess because of irresponsible lending. I don't know how or why Paulson cannot see this, but it is not in banks' best interest. It's not in the taxpayers' best interest. It's not in anyone's best interest. We are in a massive consumer-led recession. We've got overcapacity everywhere in Pizza Huts and nail salons and Home Depots. Why is it that any bank would want to lend in this environment? And Paulson comes along, he puts a bazooka to their head and says, we're going to give you this money and you're going to lend it.
And here's Wall Street, fears of a recession, which I believe, and so do you, that we're already in.
Yes, we are.
They finally decided to realize, you know what? Maybe all this isn't going to work anyway. And look what happened today.
Absolutely. The you know, all these talk, just what we said the last time I was, all this talk of mushroom clouds, the economic mushroom clouds, if they didn't pass this, the Dow was down again today, gave back almost all of its gains. So did the NASDAQ. The S&P is performing a little bit better. I'm looking at the futures tonight. It's a bloodbath in Asia. Japan had the biggest rally on record 2 days ago. It's given it all back.
Same thing, just like us.
Yes, 1,000 points up, 1,000 points down. One of these days, we're going to go 1,000 points down, 1,000 points down, and 1,000 points down. That's what's coming. We've seen this kind of pattern before, and it never leads to anything good.
Mish, we're going to put a little cot in the Los Angeles studio for you, and that way you can just stay there, and we'll just wake you up whenever I need you on, because I think we're going to be using you a lot.
Well, you know, I wish I could come on and say something good once in a while. News out of GM. GM has, GMAC is demanding now a FICO score of 700, which is a pretty respectable FICO score.
That's a good score.
Before it will give anybody a loan to buy a car. Now, that removes 42% of the potential buyers of cars. And if GMAC is doing that, you can bet that all the rest of them are doing the same thing. And so here we are worried about GM not being able to sell cars. Well, they can't, no one that can afford a car and wants to buy one, is going to buy it. Only those people, and now, I mean, they're just, and look, it's, man, you can hear me flustered here.
Paul,
I can't. Trying to get banks to lend, and we have finance companies unwilling to lend. And it's a mistake to lend, because if they lend this money to people, they won't be able to pay it back.
Hey, that's the bottom line. Mish, thanks again so much for being on the program and your continual updates on this truly incredible and bizarre situation. Well, the presidential race is almost over. The final debate in New York, John McCain sitting just a few feet from Barack Obama at the final presidential debate, accused his rival of trying to falsely link him to President Bush, raise taxes on hardworking Americans, and brush aside hurtful comments made by one of his key supporters. Obama accused McCain of exclusively running negative ads and repeatedly said that he was distorting the facts about his past associations. The tone of the debate was decidedly more tense than that of their previous two encounters. It was also a key opportunity for McCain to try to halt Obama's growing momentum at the polls. The Republican nominee used the intimate format to challenge Obama's economic policies directly and attempt to refute his campaign's central argument that he is akin to President Bush. Here we go. Tests on leading brands of bottled water turned up a variety of contaminants often found in tap water, according to a study released by an environmental advocacy group. The findings challenged the popular impression and marketing pitch that bottled water is purer than tap water. Omar strengthened into a hurricane and took aim at the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico after drenching the southeastern Caribbean. The late Pope John Paul II apparently was injured by a crazed knife-wielding priest in a 1982 stabbing that was kept secret until now. John Paul's former top aide opens up the information about the Pope in a new documentary called Testimony. Apparently on May 12th of 1982, John Paul visited a shrine in Portugal to give thanks for surviving an assassination attempt a year earlier. When a Spanish priest lunged at him with a dagger, the fact that the knife actually cut the Pope was covered up. Vice President Dick Cheney went to the hospital Wednesday after experiencing an abnormal heartbeat. Scheduled to have outpatient procedure to restore his normal rhythm, Cheney has had four heart attacks, the first at 37. He is 67. He also had quadruple bypass surgery, two angioplasties, and a pacemaker implanted in his chest in 2001. That device was replaced last year. Nancy Reagan, the wife of the late President Ronald Reagan, hospitalized in California after suffering a broken pelvis. She is 87. A medic in Phoenix for the Arizona Department of Public Safety was killed when he was struck by the rotor blade of a rescue helicopter trying to help someone. The human remains found in the stomach of a giant crocodile, thought to have eaten a Scottish-born camper in northeastern Australia 2 weeks ago, are being tested for the DNA. Police found the male human remains inside a 14-foot crocodile, which was caught in Queensland in Australia. Arthur Booker disappeared after checking on crab pots during a camping trip with his wife. Ugh, just think of that. Authorities conducted an X-ray of the crocodile, one of three that they captured while searching for Booker, and they found human remains and a circular object, which could be, they say, the wedding ring. School children playing in woods near their home in the United Kingdom found something very strange, a human skull. It belonged to a little girl. Police investigating that. Scientists have shown that it's possible to harness brain signals and redirect them to make paralyzed limbs work. The technology bypasses injuries that stop nerve signals traveling from the brain to the muscles, offering some hope now for people with spinal damage. So far, the U.S. team from the University of Washington, they've only tested their brain machine interfaces with monkeys. The hope is to develop implantable circuits for humans without the need for robotic limbs in the future. I'm going to be at a conference in Las Vegas in a few weeks, and one of those at the 6th Annual Crash Retrieval Conference will be none other than our own Jim Mars. And we're going to talk with Jim about that and some of the work he's been doing in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Jim Mars, award-winning journalist, has more than 30 years' experience with several Texas newspapers. In 1999, he began teaching a course on UFOs, perhaps one of the first university-level UFO courses in the country. Also investigated the U.S. Army's remote viewing program 3 years before it was publicly acknowledged by the CIA. He then produced Alien Agenda. He has talked about, of course, the JFK assassination as well. And here he is, Jim Mars. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Howdy, George. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
And I am going to look forward to meeting you physically for the first time November 7th through the 9th at the 6th Annual Crash Retrieval Conference in Las Vegas.
You know, that's right. I think
we've never met.
No, we've kind of been at the same places, but never at the same time.
Two ships passing in the night. Well, this time, not only are we're going to meet, I think we're going to have you on the program that Friday night out there, too, with Linda Moulton Howe. So
great.
I'm looking forward to it. What have you been working on lately, Jim?
Well, I've got of course, I want to thank you, and I want to thank your listeners, because if you'll recall, about a month or so ago, I was on talking about my latest book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. And right after that appearance on Coast to Coast, it hit the extended New York Times bestseller list. So thank you very much.
Go figure, right?
Go figure. But this is actually really great because I really worked hard and I tried to push the people at William Morrow and HarperCollins to get this out as soon as they could, because I think it's so important for people to try to understand what's going on right now, you know, this financial debacle. And people are scratching their heads. What's going on here? And, of course, it's typical. The government blames greedy bankers, and the bankers blame the government regulations, and it goes back and forth, and most people are left scratching their head. But if you study history, and particularly when I look back into the creation of Hitler's Third Reich, I realize that in 1931, the German economy was ballooned up and then popped, and it dropped into hyperinflation by withdrawing funds from banks outside of Germany, particularly National City Bank of New York, which is now Citicorp,
okay,
and the J.P. Morgan, which is now Morgan Stanley. So we see the same players repeating history. They're doing the same thing, and it looks like, you know, if everything keeps dropping, we're going to slide into hyperinflation too. And then this is what panics the public and pushes them right into the arms of National Socialist. And we see this right now. In fact, this move right now is trying to make people so upset with the banking community that they're going to willingly turn it over to the government, and then we'll have socialized banking. It's amazing. And, of course, George, what worries me is that I can recall back in 1990 when the Mustang Ranch brothel in Nevada, you know, got in trouble with the IRS, and the government took it over and tried to run it. And
I remember that story.
Remember that? And pretty soon they had to shut it down. So here we are talking about handing over our entire national economy to people who can't even run a whorehouse. it's really kind of amazing, but people have a short memory. And they don't remember this stuff. So I've been trying to bring that out with my new book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, and you can see the parallels. But in answer to your question, I've got another one coming out next month. It's going to be called Above Top Secret.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, you're going to love this one because it's a little handbook on what are all the great mysteries and questions and conspiracies that people are actually concerned with today, and it touches on just about everything. Kennedy assassination, Roswell, is there a Nazi base in Antarctica? Do we go to the moon? Is God an alien? Holy cow, it gets into the whole thing, and I'm not going to try to say that I have a handle on the truth on every one of these issues, but it was really interesting going through there and just simply using a journalistic somewhat objective viewpoint and saying, okay, here's the controversy. We know this. We hear this. Other people say this. And here's what seems to be the thrust of the whole thing. So I think it's going to be a real exciting read for most people.
You know, Kennedy tried to do away with the Federal Reserve. I'm convinced that could be one of the reasons why he was assassinated.
Well, George, I'm right with you on that because, you know, Kennedy in June of 1963 issued $6 billion in currency, not through the privately owned Federal Reserve system that we have to pay interest to, but through the Treasury Department, which we don't have to pay interest to, and thus becoming the second president in American history that bypassed that world banking system and tried to issue interest-free money. And the first one was Abraham Lincoln when he printed and distributed greenbacks to fund the war between the states. And George, I don't think it's just sheer coincidence that both of those presidents were shot in the head in public.
No, not at all. Tell me a little bit more about some of the work you've been doing in the UFO field, about the openness of the media and the public to discussing UFOs. At least that's what it appears to be the last year or so.
Yeah, so you're seeing the same things I am. I think.
Absolutely.
It's really interesting. I'm not going to say that we've turned the corner in the UFO issue, but, George, I really believe we're kind of at the corner because, and this goes back to the first of this year with the sightings around Stephenville, Texas, and what really amazed me about that sighting was not the sighting itself because it was pretty similar to many other such sightings, but the fact that the conventional news media actually treated it as a news story. And most of the reports were pretty straightforward and pretty much told people what was going on. And some of the TV and radio reports down here in Texas, they just reported it with a straight face. None of the previous eye rolling and snickers and, you know, Farmer Fudd saw something. You know what I'm talking about. They've done that for 60 years. And of course, there's a reason for that, because we have the government documents. A lot of this will be discussed at the 6th Annual Crash Retrieval Conference there in Las Vegas. But this was a program that was consciously laid on starting back in the early 50s, of denial and ridicule. There's nothing there, folks. And if you keep saying there is, then there must be something wrong with you. But I see that dwindling these days. As you probably are well aware, Larry King has had, what, half a dozen programs now?
Oh, yeah. He's hot for this stuff.
He's really jumping on it now, and he's got military people, and it's really funny because in the past, usually they wouldn't give the microphone to anybody except just some Joe Blow out in the countryside, and then they'd turn to some establishment authority figure like a colonel or a general, you know, who'd say, oh, no, there's nothing to that, folks. And today, though, they had the base commander from Bentwaters over in England. Understand Linda Moulton Howe has got some new information about that she's going to be presenting. They actually talked to other military people who talked about quite seriously and candidly about their UFO encounters. So it just certainly seems to me that we're entering a new era here of enlightenment, and now it seems like it's becoming acceptable to actually put the UFO issue on the table and discuss it in public, which is, you know, something we really haven't had up until about now.
Stay with us. Jim Marr's with us. We're going to take phone calls with Jim. Wide open phone calls right now on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Dr. Gary Schwartz joins us. We talk about the fact that nothing happens by chance. I'm looking forward to that. When we come right back, how about your phone calls with Jim Marr's on Coast to Coast AM? And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Jim Marr's with us. Your phone calls as well. Jim's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now. That's Jim Marr's with two R's .com. Rule by Secrecy, a number of his just books. So of all the books you've written, was there one that scared you when you were doing the research on it, Jim?
That's a good question. Probably not, because doing research, particularly most of my books have dealt with events that have already happened, so it's kind of like digging back through history. But I will say that as I researched the rise of the Fourth Reich, I became aware of more and more of the parallels that happened in pre-Nazi Germany that led to the Third Reich, and how that they fit so well with what's happening in the United States today. That was kind of scary.
Let's go to the phones. Here we go. First of all, east of the Rockies, Buffalo, New York, one of my favorite towns. Hey, Ray, go ahead. Take it away.
Hey, George. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Good. Hi, Jim.
Howdy.
I read, like, a lot of your books, man, and I'm honored to speak with both of you guys. My question is, like, for Jim, I've read, like, several of your books, and, you know, you cover, like, a lot of, like, territory, you know, from, you know, everything. I mean, you cover, like, a lot of different topics. How do you do all this research and get to know so much? I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just, you know, you're a pretty smart guy. I mean,
yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's kind of a good question.
I wish I could, like, have that knowledge, you know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think a good part of that is just living a long time. For example, I have a photograph of me dancing with one of Jack Ruby's girls on the stage of his Carousel Club that was taken about a month before the Kennedy assassination. So I've been of age and paying attention and watching the news and correlating information now for, you know, almost 50 years. It's that's part of it. And the other thing is to read. Nobody much reads anymore. They're all talking on their cell phones or playing their computer games or whatever. And I'm not disparaging any of that. I do that. But take some time to read books and read history, and you'll start to have a better understanding of what's going on. And with understanding and knowledge comes wisdom.
But you've got an insight, Jim, and that's important too. A lot of people can read. You read between the lines.
Well, that's true. That's true. And when I say read, you can't just read the things that interest you or the things that appeal to your belief system. You have to read a little bit of everything and start correlating that, because sometimes some of the things that we believe so devoutly turn out not to be really true.
By the way, Jim, I have a picture of you dancing with one of Jack Ruby's girls, too, and we'll post it on the website tomorrow. I'm kidding. Anita in New York City, you're on the line with Jim Marr's at Coast to Coast. Hey, Anita.
Yes. Hey, guys. Jim, I love your work. A friend sent me, when I was upstate, Rule by Secrecy, and I've been in love with you ever since, but your wife need not worry.
you're way up in New York City, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's easier for me to hear you over the air, so let me put out where I'm going. I heard you when you were last with George, and I was somewhat confounded about your conclusion in this respect. It seems to me that, of course, both these Democrats and these Republicans, we know who operates them, but it seems to me that McCain was down with the false flag operation of 9/11. 01, and he was not only down with it and on the scene, but he also rubber stamped the Patriot Act, the military commission, which sort of made transparent the kangaroo court and trying to protect those criminals from the from the War Crimes Act and on with habeas corpus. And being that Obama was a professor of constitutional law, if we could get people together, it would seem that we could push him more from the Bilderberger group. I've never seen him there. I think on Alex's video, I saw McCain, you know, at the at one of those meetings that he was photographing them outside. So I was somewhat confounded when you said that, and you were talking quickly, so I wasn't sure I heard you correctly, but you seem to be saying that Obama would give us the New World Order at a quicker pace. And I have some concern about that because he seems to have much more of an intellect, more like a JFK intellect, which might put him in danger if he does try to do some things. And the other part of my question is, tell us how long it took you. I'm looking forward to reading The Rise of the Fourth Reich. Tell us how long it took you and even how the genesis of the idea come about. And I love you. I love you, George, and I'll listen over the air. Thank you so much.
Okay, very good. Do you want to address the Obama question first, Jim?
Well, yeah, first off, what she said about John McCain is absolutely correct. Anyone who believes that a presidency with John McCain is going to get us anything substantially different from what we've had with the Bush regime is just, they're just, you know, pipe dreaming. And of course, that's so the only one possible chance it might be with Obama. But there's some tremendous problems there. First off, his foreign policy advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, head of the Trilateral Commission, which is an offshoot of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's been trying to get us in a war with Russia ever since he was Secretary of State under Jimmy Carter. And so you got that problem. And you got other people who are connected to the globalists, as they call themselves, and Obama seems very much dedicated to socialism, you know. But I think the big thing that's concerned me right now is that this issue about Obama's constitutionality as a presidential candidate is gaining some traction, and I have looked into that, and it seems that the evidence seems to support the idea that he's not even a naturalized U.S. citizen, which means under the U.S. Constitution, he is not constitutionally qualified to be president. And the fact that both he and his campaign and even the Democratic National Committee are failing to address that. In fact, they're pulling legal maneuvers in court trying to prevent all that. John McCain, who was born out of this country, he was born in Panama, and yet he was born of American military family, and he has come forth with his birth certificate and all the documents, and it's pretty plain that, you know, that he squares with the Constitution. Obama, there's a big problem there, and what kind of constitutional question could it be if he goes ahead and is elected, and then it comes out and is absolutely decided?
Oh my gosh, what a
mess!
You know,
what is that going to do? And is this another step to simply destroy the U.S. Constitution? Do we say, oh well, never mind about the Constitution? And that's what's worrying me, George, about both these candidates. McCain's, you know, they ask him about, since the majority of people in this country seems to think that we need to end a war in Iraq, and he said, basically, who cares? You know, where are we? Are we a nation of laws under the Constitution, or are we just a nation of outlaws that just do whatever we want to do? I think this is a very serious question. Now, to her question about how do I gather all this information, it's just again, I keep up with what's going on, I correlate information, and then I stop to think about it. I do want to mention, before we run out of time, that we'd already mentioned the Kennedy assassination, which I kind of cut my teeth on in November in Dallas. I will be speaking at the International Conference on the Assassination of President John F. Kennedy, sponsored by JFK Lancer, and that's November the 21st to the 23rd.
Right during the anniversary date.
Right there. In fact, on Saturday the 22nd, I have agreed to go and be and appear on the Grassy Knoll, the infamous Grassy Knoll, as part of the tributes and the activities that are going to be happening there. And I would only add that for your younger listeners who are interested in conspiracies and controversies and mysteries and are wondering where to start, I can think of no better starting point than to delve into the Kennedy assassination, because so much time has passed now and there is an abundance of evidence and documentation out there, and this is a really good way to sink your teeth into a controversy and a conspiracy that's been carrying on for a number of years, but you can actually begin to get a feeling for what's really going on, and then you're primed to go on to other conspiracies.
Let's go to Alberta, Canada. Jim, Gene, you're on the international line with us. Go ahead, Gene.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for your work, both of you gentlemen. I'd like to ask Jim Mars, do you think this sudden turn, like Larry King especially, turning into the light here, supposedly, and investigating UFOs, doesn't that kind of seem like it's the beginning of a setup that maybe proposed alien false flag theory that's been kicking around?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up, because, again, I want to issue a warning. I mean, people who've been reading my books for years, people who've kept up with me here on Coast to Coast, know that for a good number of years now, I've been trying to tell people what's really going on and what's likely to happen. And of course, I'm not one of those who would say, I told you so, so I won't even go there. But I will issue a warning here. The fact that apparently the official policy now has turned from denial and ridicule to, well, let's talk openly about the UFO phenomenon, about the possibility of extraterrestrial life, that could lead us into another problematic area, which is that there is and there are people who have been in positions of authority who have tried to tell us that once communism, international communism, collapsed as an enemy, an external enemy, that we then would turn to international terrorist, which is, of course, where we are today, and that if that no longer works, then as a contrived external enemy, it would be a threat from space. And I think we need to be aware of this, and we need to be careful about what goes on, because you don't want to fall into either one of the traps. You don't want to fall into a trap that says extraterrestrials are all enemies and we have to give up all our liberties to save ourselves from them. And likewise, we don't want to fall into the trap that says, oh, they're all our space brothers and they're here to help us. I think we need to enter this new era of openness and truthfulness about extraterrestrial life, as we would meeting any stranger. Meet them with friendship and open arms, but keep a wary eye on what's really going on. And the caller mentioned false flag. With new technologies burgeoning as they are today, there is a very definite threat that one nation or another, even our own military-industrial complex, might use exotic technology to stampede us into thinking that there is some sort of an alien invasion as a false flag operation. They've already successfully pulled that with 9/11, and they tried to pull it in 1962 with the Northwoods operation. And so I think it's, I think this is something that we have to seriously look at.
Let's go back to the calls. Let's go to our west of the Rockies line in Eureka, California. Trina, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi.
Hi,
Jim. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I like how you have a pulse, you know, your finger on just about the pulse of everything and the eclectic. I've been following you for a great many years and admire your intelligence and insight a great deal. I just want to speak quickly. There seems to be such a mismatch of everything going on right now, of like the economic, and there's also is a brief report of five students from the University of Washington, male students that were Middle Eastern, and they've gone missing. And it was just a very brief blurb on the news, and I haven't caught much more. And all these kind of other threats, and it just seems like it's really so, everybody's such in kind of a panic right now. I'm wondering if this might have any chance of leading to bringing up, since they think maybe Obama might get elected, do you think that something could be pulled out with by George Bush for like a martial law declaring, you know, it's just something, you know, like some false, another false created disaster of some sort?
Well, Jim, you and I both agree that anything's possible right about now. Anything's
that's the truth,
possible.
George. That you is know? The truth.
Probably not, but anything's possible.
Well, I think if it was left up to Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, yeah. and George W. Bush, I think they would declare martial law in a minute if they thought they could get away with it. But frankly, I think the financial powers that are behind them, they don't want to do that. Martial law would trigger God knows what. There are already several states.
Yeah, I mean, you think the economy's bad now? If
yeah.
we went to martial law, you're talking about a collapse.
Exactly. And there are several states already talking seriously about secession. So, you know, I don't think they want to go there. What they want to do is they just want to grind us down to the point to where they can bring in their New World Order, their North American Union, combine the economies of Mexico, Canada, and the United States, institute their new Amero, and then move on into their socialistic world.
If you want information on Jim Marrs' get-together in Las Vegas, and I'll be there on that Friday, and also I'll be doing the show live in Las Vegas out of our great studios at KXNT, UFOconference.com is their website, UFOconference.com. It's the 2008 UFO Crash Retrieval Conference. Let's go to you, Charles, in Bethany, Missouri, first-time caller. Got a couple minutes for you. Go ahead, Charles.
George, I'm a 62-year-old Navy retiree and a current truck driver who's been listening to you nightly. And
thanks
I'm mad
for
as,
both
I'm mad as hell and sick to my stomach thanks to having just read Jim's Rise of the Third Reich and Rule by Secrecy. I have had a knot in my stomach for 3 weeks. Half of me wants to tell everybody, here's where it is. But unfortunately, George, if it wasn't for you and Glenn Beck, I don't hear Jim. And unfortunately, not very many people read. If there was a way that we could get this out during the daytime broadcast on TV, I think more people would listen. But I hope I said it all in a short time. George, we love you. And Jim, I can't wait to get your next book.
Well, thank you, Charles. I appreciate the kind words. And you know what? You may have hit on a real point here in that I'm always asked by people, well, I'm just one person. What can I do? So I'm going to address this to everyone that's listening tonight. You're just one person, but you can do something. You can educate yourself as to the truth of what our situation is. Then you can go and tell your family and your friends and try to share this information, because knowledge is indeed power. And there's more of us than there are of these people trying to take over this country. So let's get to work. You know, the time for being a couch potato and just sitting around and saying, well, let them take care of it, it's gone. You know, they are taking care of it, and they're not taking care of it to our benefit. So let's all get together, stand up as freeborn Americans, black, white, red, yellow, Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, it doesn't matter. Let's just all be Americans. We can agree to disagree, but we can agree that we'll do it under the color of law, justice, and righteousness.
Very good. Thanks, Jim. We'll see you. I'll see you in a few weeks in Las Vegas, all right? Jim Marrs. And I'll be back in a moment with Dr. Gary Schwartz. Things just don't happen by chance.